Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market, a dynamic leader in the quality food business, a mission-driven company that aims to set the standards of excellence for food retailers. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hey, and welcome to the food scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. 2013. This is the first episode, and it's only befitting to have the ladies, the sister cosans of thenewpotato.com, a wonderful food and lifestyle site that's going to get everybody looking for that new potato. Thank you for being on.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Michael.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Yeah,
it's going to be a good year.
It's going to be a great year. So, and the new potato, we'll talk about the relaunch and the rebirth, the phoenixology of your site. But we got to talk about the beginnings. You two weren't initially, well, I wouldn't say food people. You weren't initially new potato people. Where did you grow up? What are your backgrounds?
We grew up in Connecticut, just outside New York City. And I had a background in fashion. Laura was in entertainment. And, you know, we both always loved food and restaurants. And we kind of one day said, you know, there's really not a site that combines that cool editorial design feel with food and kind of does it all in a really kind of creative way and really focuses on the lifestyle behind food and culture and restaurants, featuring all different types of people in all different industries and kind of how they relate to it. And yeah, that's sort of where the idea kind of spawned from.
Yeah, Connecticut doesn't seem like the hub of all those things, though. So, So, I mean, like, what was it in your childhood that fascinated you enough to eventually move your way towards food? Where do you guys eat, cook?
We were kind of Jewish. So.
That is true. That's a big one.
Bagels and love?
Yeah.
We were always brought up, like, coming in and out of New York. Our whole family is from there, basically. We always traveled when we were younger, so it was always something that was a big part of our lives. Food was a big part of our lives.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
You know, and we wanted somewhere that you could go, where on the one hand you could see, you know, what the meatball shop guys are doing, on the other hand see, you know, where Graydon Carter's going to eat. So,
yeah. No, it is quite the gamut, quite the spectrum of people. And, I mean, I'm super impressed having this show and booking my own guests, the reach that you guys have already had. I mean, I guess a big question is, how did you start a site like this? Who was your first interview and how did you keep that ball rolling?
Well, actually, we kind of started by just sort of walking around on foot and going in and asking if the owner was there at certain restaurants and saying, do you want to be part of this site that doesn't exist yet?
Basically, yes, that is how we started.
Yeah.
But we were really lucky that we had some really amazing people join us for the launch, and that kind of propelled us pretty early on. So yeah, that was great.
We have to give a shout out to Gabriel Stuhlman, who's actually the first person to say yes.
Gabriel Stuhlman.
I'm a huge
fan. I remember I went to photograph him, and he was like, so, who else is on this site that doesn't exist? And I was like, oh, lots of people. Just wait. Luckily, he was in very good company once we launched.
We were like, that information has to be confidential this time.
Yeah. Yeah, we can't tell you yet.
So, how long has the site actually been up?
It'll be a year, I think, March 1st, around then.
I mean, it's already such a huge collection of people, of stories, that, you know, it's so much fun and entertaining to sit there and kind of vet through all these fascinating facts that you've heard from people. You just recently published your top stories of 2012, Tom Colicchio, Graydon Carter, as you mentioned, Nate Berkus. What did you initially talk to Gabe about? Did you have a structure in these questions? Because aside from ideal food day, you know, it's kind of whatever whimsy there is.
Well, I think with Gabriel, we actually did our Epicurean's questionnaire, which we kind of was our kind of our own little take on the Proust questionnaire. Mm-hmm. And we kind of started giving that around to a couple of different people. And then with people, we also started kind of evolving the interviews so that, you know, they all didn't match. But the Epicurean's questionnaire has stayed pretty.
We wanted something constant that people would kind of really get, like, addicted to, shall you say. Like, we started, like, the icons, which, you know, and now it's kind of become, is someone an icon or is somebody a new icon? And, you know, the questions are different. Like, with Epicureans, they're not exactly the same for every person, but we like the fact that they sort of are tailored to the personality to kind of show that we're really looking at who someone is rather than just the same format exactly for every person.
So what are the bullet points? What are the questions that you ask people? Do you have a script that you follow?
Not really a script, no. Like, they basically vary. There are some that are like constants, you know, ideal food day, last meal, you know, ideal dinner party with five people living or dead, who would they be? You know, right, Danielle? We have basically...
Yeah, I mean, I think, Epicureans is sort of a set thing, like you said. And then, you know, we kind of tailor it sometimes to different people. And, you know, we generally ask, you know, if it's a questionnaire, we've evolved, you know, past that. It's, you know, catered to the person, so yeah. About their background.
So let's talk about the breakdown. You have these, you know, topic headers. You have the aesthetics, the restaurant tours, the foodies, the house, the recipes. What is each one, and what are some of your favorites from each subject?
Ooh, okay.
We're like looking at each other.
Who should take what category?
Well, you know, I think that, you know, restaurant tours obviously is pretty self-explanatory. It's the people that own, you know, these amazing restaurants or a few amazing restaurants. I think some of my personal favorites from that have been, you know, as you said, Tom Colicchio, because I like ones that cause a bit of a stir.
Yeah.
You know, I like when there's a whole, you know, controversy involved online.
What was the controversy with Tom? I know there was some intriguing Top Chef questions.
Yeah, he said, and it was a great answer, but he said something about, I think I asked him who he would want to compete with. Because we ask a lot of times who somebody would want to compete with in a food competition. And he said, you know, I don't really get the whole competitive food TV thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know,
that was pretty great.
Yeah.
I think when you get people talking about food TV, you always get, or not always, I should say, but you do often get a answer that can sometimes spark debate.
Yeah.
Which is great.
So you have the aesthetic.
Yeah. The aesthetic was really kind of, came out of the idea that, you know, like I said, we felt like aesthetic is such a big part of dining and restaurants and that part of your lifestyle and we felt like it was really ignored in a lot of different platforms. So we really wanted to put emphasis on it. So in that, we profile people like Roman and Williams, who did the design for the Standard and the Breslin at the Ace Hotel. And, you know, from that to a shop, the aesthetic, which is someone like Nate kind of curating a shoppable aesthetic, like picking items for a restaurant that you can actually shop off of based on the aesthetic of that restaurant.
And for people that don't know Nate Berkus, he's an amazing designer.
Amazing.
And he's what? Design lines for Target, for
W-Hotels. Yeah, he's an amazing
hotels.
Interior designer. He actually just had an unbelievable, his new book is amazing. Yeah. The Things That Matter. It's so good. And so someone like him, like Carrie Diamond from Seersucker in Brooklyn, which is we love that restaurant. Mm-hmm. And we did a piece on her and a piece on Rob, and she curated a shop, the aesthetic, for us, all based on Seersucker, which is kind of a Southern vibe, but her picks, I should say, were amazing. And they were all, you know, based on the aesthetic of the restaurant. So you were shopping great denim, you're shopping rock and roll posters, flowers, mm-hmm. and just really cool stuff. So that was really what we wanted to go for with that section, just really hitting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the house section, which is, I'm sure, something that you like, obviously,
yeah.
Michael.
Michael likes that.
That was kind of born out of, there was this like moth-eaten event like last year or something, and Danielle and I always have this idea of like the front to the back of the house, which you obviously get, where, you know, you explore kind of like every single aspect of a restaurant. And, you know, I actually went around to, before we even started the site, and was doing these like little Q&As with like the busboy, the line yeah. cook, just everyone, and created this like whole packet that I actually went after and gave to Gail Simmons after the moth-eaten event. She didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
And then we got her on the site eventually. But so then we kind of thought we'll do this section called The House. So it's exploring the back to the front and, you know, not ripping you off.
No, not at all. I'm happy that someone else is proliferating that idea. I mean, it's such a, you know, even in this day and age with celebrity chefs and that, yeah, it's like the rest of the kitchen or the rest of the restaurant is overlooked so often. So yeah, you guys give such a great spectrum of people. I mean, from, you know, the owner to the designer to, you know, the busboy or dishwasher. So
thank you.
Yeah, well,
especially in New York, there's so many cool maitre d's out there. Like, how often do you walk into a restaurant and say, oh wow, look, you know, she's so well dressed, or, you know. And so we started the whole night out with a maitre d' column, where you kind of follow like a really cool maitre d' around and just kind of what these people are about who work in restaurants.
Can I suggest one if you haven't had him already?
John
Winterman
them,
from Danielle. He's okay. been on the show. He's an amazing person, and I'm sure it will be a hell of a night out. But seeing what people do, seeing what people do outside of work, I think almost dictates their personality in work in a weird way.
Well, and people don't know, you know, one of the first ones we had was with Jeffrey Parrish, who actually was working at one of Gabriel's restaurants. And, you know, when we went out with him, there was like all these free things like coming our way from like random, like he just knew all these different people. And it's like this whole community that you don't really, we didn't know like really existed yet.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. That was a fun one.
Yeah.
I mean, without a maitre d' by your side, I'm assuming you guys go out, check out the New York scene.
Once in a while.
Yeah. So, aside from eating at Roberta's, say, where do you often dine?
You want to start this one?
Sure.
It's a long, long list.
God, that question is overwhelming, and I love how we ask that, and then we say, you know, I think all of Gabriel's restaurants, I think, like, are my favorite. I love Joseph Leonard for dinner. I love Jeffrey's Grocery for brunch. Like, Jeffrey's Grocery brunch, probably my favorite thing. You know, we like, what Alex Stupak was, like, one of the first people we love, like, M. Blanc Cucina. Cafe Clune, anything Keith McNally does.
Barbudo is probably one of our absolute favorites.
Yeah.
Like most of the people who have been interviewed on our site and have all have wonderful things to say about Jonathan Waxman, deservedly so. But that restaurant is pretty much can do no wrong.
Yeah.
The Standard is another haunt.
The Mission Chinese food craze.
Yeah, obviously. I've been there two or three times in the past 10 days. It's been a blur, but I know I've eaten there a lot. Kung Pao Pastrami, kind of my bag. Yeah. So with this large collection of people that, you know, gather tasty information from, you mentioned someone like Jonathan Waxman. Do you see these similar responses through a lot of people, places that all the chefs go or places that all the restaurateurs go? And what are those insider tips now?
Well, I would say, I mean, we definitely do. Barbuda was definitely one. And Jonathan Waxman's chicken has been mentioned in probably, you know, 50% of our...
Yeah. Well, every single chef you ask, like, who they admire, we were seeing at the beginning that every chef was saying Jonathan Waxman. So it's just kind of funny that you started with that. So that was a trend we were seeing at the beginning.
Definitely.
And then there are other ones, you know, like the restaurant that never goes out of style. We always get, like, La Grenouille.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like specifics. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to think what else we get a lot. I mean, I guess, you know, I guess in terms of people do give us a lot of good specifics. Like Adam Rappaport actually said, we pretty much ordered today at Roberta's based on Adam Rappaport and what he told us to order in his interview, which was the salad, the plain salad with the mint and pecorino.
Oh, it's delicious. Yeah,
and the margarita pizza.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we do use, so if you, that is one thing on our site that we get some good insider tips from people.
And like more trend wise, you know, you get the whole food TV should be let's not forget the food. Like food TV is getting a little bit too much like reality TV, you know, you get like a lot of those kind of
opinions. Yeah, we've had that a couple times.
Yeah.
It's just a few. Yeah. So there's definitely trends that you hear along the way.
Well, let's actually talk about food for a second, because, you know, you have a wonderful, you know, collection right now of recipes too, you know, directly from chefs, from bloggers, from so many different sources. I was kind of weeding through the cocktails today. Yes. As I'm ushering in this year with a slightly liquid diet.
Oh, you making this one?
Yeah, I mean, we're not FCC regulated, and we can drink on air, so it doesn't really matter.
All right, cool.
What are some of your favorite recipes that you've collected?
Well, the Jonathan Waxman roast chicken, I have to say, I've done that like a trillion times.
We've plugged that like six times in this interview so far. You know the one, was it, I think it was Andrew Zimmerman gave us these one pot sticky chicken wings that were awesome. Those were really, really good.
We have some short ribs from Edward Lee that are like out of this world. These bison short ribs that if you can get your hands on some bison meat, you should try.
Yeah. And in terms of cocktails, the Jim Meehan cocktails are unbelievable. I think I can't remember the exact name of it off the top of my head, but I think one of them is a Manhattan, but he makes it with pepper. And it's like a vodka Manhattan, and it's unbelievable. It's like one of the best cocktails I've ever tried.
So do you guys feel like gluttons now after having started this site? You just get this influx of great food and drinks. I mean, what has this world opened up your eyes to? I mean, what didn't you know existed that you now can't stop thinking about?
That's a really good question. Yes. Laura?
yeah, as you can see, he's the editor and he's the creative director. No, I mean, as I said before, I think one thing, this is not as food related as it should be, but I think like the incredible community that the food community is and just how everyone really knows each other and like these amazing relationships that I hate to say it, you see like from an event to like on Twitter is just so awesome.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to be a part of. And, you know, you're not always a part of it. When you feel a part of it, you feel really cool.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. Definitely. I think it's a really... It is. It's like a community in a lot of ways. And I think that's something that that we really have kind of discovered in doing this, which is great.
And also just how people in so many different industries, like everyone, you know, as people say in our interviews, I can't take credit for this. Everybody has to eat.
Right.
And it's amazing when we interview like a Nate Berkus or an Alexandra Wilson, like the founder of Gilt. Like everybody loves food. Like it doesn't matter who it is, which is just so cool. So there's this like universality of it. It's awesome.
Yeah, Joe, you got that clip because that's what Heritage is found on, too.
Yeah, everybody has to eat. Exactly.
I mean, we have like 25, almost 30 shows on the station, varying genres, subjects. But yeah, it's all comes back to, you know, putting food in the mouth.
And yeah.
So.
And it's funny, actually, because even if they don't, they still have, like David Barton, for instance, who owns David Barton Gym. We interviewed him, and he said the best thing that no one else on her site has ever said, which was, I wish that I could, something along these lines, this is not a direct quote, but it was, I wish that I could kind of take all the food for one day and put it into one pail. It would just be so much easier. But his interview was so great, and it was really a very popular interview. And it was just so funny, because usually we have, when you ask someone like, you know, a food person or a restaurant person, their ideal food day, it's like a long ideal food day. And his was like, oh, I wish I could just put my food into a pill.
Yeah.
And it was like such a great answer. And it totally
says something about people.
Yeah, you really get a whole, you really get a great variety when you ask people about food. No matter what it is, somebody, everyone has something to say.
Yeah. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to actually turn that question back onto you and find out what your ideal food days will be.
Ooh.
You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. We'll be right back.
Today's program has been brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Washed rind cheeses are a fairly recent addition to the repertoires of artisanal cheesemakers in the United States. These cheeses tend to be stinkier than other types and are often high on the list of connoisseurs. Now, Whole Foods Market has come up with one of their own. The raw cow's milk cheese made by Sprout Creek Farm in Poughkeepsie, New York, is washed with 6-point ale from Red Hook, Brooklyn. The beige sticky rind deepens in color as it ages. The satiny ivory cheese within is mellow with a sweetly tangy bite and a grassy aroma. The current version features 6-point diesel, which is in limited supply, so stop by and pick up some before it's gone. And point of origin cheese is sold exclusively at Whole Foods Market in New York, Northern New Jersey, and Connecticut. For more information, visit WholeFoodsMarket.com. We all know what a foodie is, but what's foodiness?
Foodiness is turning us into those chubby, slushy, slurping, lounge chair-bound morons in WALL-E, plugged in, pumped full of sugar, and brain dead.
Chef Erica Wides is here to fight against foodiness.
You have to keep drinking the Let's Get Real Kool-Aid for it to start to work.
Let's Get Real. Rediscover real food every Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. on heritageradionetwork.org.
Hey, and welcome back to the Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.org. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, here today with Laura and Danielle Kosen of The New Potato. I've given you, what, like a minute to think about this question that you ask everybody? Yeah. And now you see why they freeze up a little bit.
Yeah.
Ideal food day.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess, God, I am plugging the same people. I really should think about this. I guess it would start with the smoked salmon and everything at Jeffrey's Grocery.
Yeah.
And the Bloody Mary with it. Then I think I would jet over to Kerry and Rob's place and have some fried chicken in between breakfast and lunch, which really makes sense, but ideal food days aren't supposed to make sense, so it's fine. And it's around the world, so it's okay. I can travel, right?
Oh, yeah. No, we allow
to travel.
Exactly. It's like Star Trek. It's good.
So then maybe I'd jet over to Shanghai, actually, and have like the soup dumplings there. I spent a summer there once, and the soup dumplings there were probably what got me into food in the first place. Then I'd go to Paris and I'd have like a great Coco Van somewhere for dinner, red wine. I'd come back to New York and have a good cocktail at Fedora, good Manhattan on the rocks.
Yeah, to wash it all down. That's a lot of jet lag.
That's a stomach ache the next day.
That's a 48-hour day.
Yeah, and we can't forget about your food day unless you're just tagging along with your sister.
Well, I will say that her first two mentions of the smoked salmon bagel and the fried chicken would definitely appeal to me as well. But I'm an Italian, like pizza is my favorite food in the world. So I'd probably I guess since we're here at Roberta's, I'd probably come somewhere like this for a margarita pizza and red wine. And that would be like my favorite dinner ever.
Yeah.
So with a really good salad.
Yeah, which you just had.
Which I just had. And so I'm pretty much had. Yeah, exactly.
This
thanks
is
to
not
Adam
a
Rapport.
Sponsored radio show by Roberta's.
Absolutely not.
No, I've always thought it would be really interesting. You know, you have these ideal food days, and to go on to like Google Maps and trace their path and just see where all the intersections
stay
are.
Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Stay tuned. Definitely, because we've thought of that too.
Yeah. And let's talk about like other initiatives for 2013, because the New Potato, even though is particularly new, is relaunching in 2013 at the end of this month, early February.
Definitely.
Yeah. Basically, we're doing like a huge redesign, relaunch. Like we think, and Danielle knows this better than anyone, that with digital, it's really good to kind of revamp every kind of, you know, look into what you're doing. And it's going to be a big redesign to just make it even more of like a magazine, like a publication as we are now, but just more info, just so much more at people's fingertips.
Yeah, I think right now what's great about our site is that it's really straightforward, and it will continue to be, but there's just going to be a lot more when you go on that homepage for you to kind of play with, which is going to be really exciting.
So on the homepage now you have what's his name, Jay Felden from Town and Country.
Yeah, Jay Felden.
Felden from Town and Country. I think Amanda Freytag is on there. Chris Santos.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty awesome people. Downton Abbey, which I sadly have never watched.
What? And
we're
leaving.
Yeah. But I started reading that piece, and I'm getting more and more intrigued. For a while, I just didn't want to watch it because I'm like, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be the one that actually doesn't see that
the
show.
The one who's really missing out.
Exactly. So, soon. But future profiles, wish list. Who do you have and who do you want to have on the site?
You mean like who's actually coming up and who do we want?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, we don't like to say too many people that are coming up because we like it to be somewhat of a surprise. But, you know, Bill Telepan is coming up. David Rockwell actually is coming up, and he's like just a huge architect for just incredible projects, you know, around the world. You know, people, wish list people, who I go over this in my
Bobby
head every
Flay,
single day.
You better be listening.
Yeah.
There we go. I was just thinking about someone too. Mario Batali, actually.
Yeah.
Mario, what are you doing? Joe's been on it. Everyone's been on
We've
it.
We've got everyone but you and Bobby. and then who else do we have coming up? Well, I don't think we have enough. We don't have people that we want to spoil the surprise, so we probably won't say anymore.
Well, I'll be tuned in. I'll be checking it out.
Yeah.
A function that you mentioned earlier was shopping. You know, being able to have these curated lists and people actually being able to go and buy those things. Is that something you're trying to incorporate more? Because the second I found out, what is it, Minion Kitchen?
Yes.
Yeah, the second I found out about that on your site, now I can't stop looking at it.
Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. I know. It's such a great site. Yeah, that's something that that's going to be huge for us in the relaunch. We're incorporating it a lot more, and we're finding new ways to incorporate it. We're kind of revamping how we're incorporating it, so it's really cool. It's still going to be based around the idea of shopping off the aesthetic of restaurants, but I think the idea of being able to, you know, look through an amazing photo shoot and shop it, or look at pictures of a beautiful restaurant or someone in a beautiful restaurant and shop it, it's just such a powerful tool now on the internet. So that's something that's going to be huge for us in the next year.
Yeah. What are some of your recent purchases from Minion and otherwise?
Oof, kitchen stuff or...
I know you enjoy the fashion as well. And sometimes you have to dress the part rather than just cook.
Yeah,
I say my money does go more. My money goes to restaurants and to fashion, but I did. Well, this isn't really. This is probably not really that impressive, but I do buy a lot of coffee table books, and so I just bought Edible Selby, which I'm obsessed with.
Yeah.
It's the most beautiful book, and if you love food, you should buy it. And that's not a plug.
Yeah.
But that's just something I thought of. I bought recently.
I mean, kitchen-wise, like my most recent, and bear in mind, if you saw my kitchen in my apartment, you would understand why the answer to this is not that elaborate. But I was recently at that place, Fish and Eddie's, I think it's
called. Oh, Fish and Eddie, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I was just buying like mason jars and milk jars and all these like little trinkets, like for no reason whatsoever, but they look really good. Not that they've been used yet, but they look good.
Yeah, I spend plenty of time browsing and pretending that's my home kitchen. I mean, the space and the light in that store alone is kind of...
Totally. I know, I love that store.
I'm more like a one, like, instrument person. I have this, like, really authentic, like, French... what are they called? Like, those French... Big, it's like a big pan that that my mom gave me, and I don't know what it's called. It's like a crock pot or something.
Oh, like cocottes.
Yeah, and I cook like everything in it, and it's really good. And my mom passed it down to me. So,
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention videos, especially one video. Which do you get taunted by it a lot? Do people make you say the word?
I mean, we've had a couple people kind of, you know, make fun of us in a good way about it, but I mean, that video was so great. And, you know, the meatball shop actually is one that we forgot to mention. I had a fantastic meal there the other night. It's such a good spot. But I mean, that was a great video. Those guys are awesome, and we had a lot of fun doing it.
They're saying balls, though, everywhere, though. They didn't listen to us. So.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we had a couple of people like, you know, they didn't even not say balls. We're like, well, that was the point of the video. You had to say balls sometimes, otherwise, you know.
Yeah, and how many laps did you actually take?
Well, Michael Chernow took 30.
Wow.
But we only took like one.
Yeah, we were good. And Daniel probably should have taken like 20, but we had to make him cook the meatballs, so he lucked out.
And if you haven't seen the video, go on thenewpotato.com and check it out. It's quite hilarious. There going to be more multimedia kind of things happening, more videos?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Video is going to be also big for us in 2013, so.
Excellent. Well, I'm excited to search out this new potato with y'all and keep on reading and seeing
Thank you so much.
As far as 2013 predictions, do you have ideas of what you think are going to trend, what you think the hot topics and questions will be?
That's an on-the-spot question.
Very on-the-spot. I mean, I think, well, I don't know. That's a really good question. Can we address it next time?
On the new potato.
We'll address it on the new potato, and everyone visit the site to find out what our trends are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, warning, disclaimer, if you start reading thenewpotato.com, you won't stop. And that is a plug, but it's it should be a plug because you guys are doing a really cool thing, and I'm excited to see its growth.
Thank you so much.
And hopefully this won't be the last time. I think we need somebody on here to give us the tips and trends. So maybe we'll see you guys like spring, summer-ish.
Yeah, we'll have them in our minds before
we
come.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it only takes us, 6 months to schedule a taping anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So 6 months from now, we'll know all the trends.
Fantastic. Laura, Danielle, thenewpotato.com. Thank you so much for being on.
Thanks, Michael.
Welcome to 2013. The food scene is back. You've been listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org, and hope to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@HeritageRadioNetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.